Hello, hello, hello. I know you missed my voice. This is Candace with the Manic Candace podcast. And today, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, we are going to discuss the rise of polyamory relationships. You guys already know how I feel about open relationships. And to me, this is my opinion. Trigger warning, I have an opinion. There's no such thing as a difference between an open relationship and a polyamorous relationship. There's just more communication. I guess that's the only difference. More communication of what you want. Sometimes the couple, polyamorous couple, will date a man or a woman together. At least the idea and communication of consent is there. Polyamory is heavily based on consent. Do you want to have a non-monogamous relationship? Do you want to be non-exclusive but exclusive? There's this term that they've coined called nesting partner. It's like someone who they're deeply committed to on a living basis. Basically, they're broke and they can't live on their own. And so they heavily depend. This is my opinion. I'm so sick of us having commitment issues. What is it about millennials and Gen Z? Particularly Gen Z, I read a statistic from the Pew Research Center. I don't know what the fuck that is. But according to them, Gen Z, 19% of Generation Z members have experienced polyamorous relationships. That's a lot. That's one-fifth. Almost one-fifth of an entire generation dating multiple people and trying to make it work. See, these things like polyamory and like concepts like open relationships and polyamory, in theory, sound good. In practice, someone's gonna get jealous. How do you keep score when it comes to, I have so many questions and we're going to dive deep into this in a little bit, but I want to just pivot for a second. Let me just go off on a tangent. I see Charlie XCX on Sunday. So in 48 hours, I will be at the Sweat Tour in Phoenix at the Footprint Center. And I am so excited that I get to see Charlie. You see my fake accent comes out when I talk about Charlie. But no, it's going to be a rave. It's going to be so much fun. I have a floor admissions ticket. Like, I'm going to get there late, but fuck it. I have no outfit, but I should just go naked. Like, fuck it. I've missed you guys. I know the last 3-4 episodes were guest episodes. Let me know how you liked that. I had a fucking doctor on the podcast. Isn't that crazy? Dr. Brian. Shout out to Dr. Brian. It was amazing. He provided so much insight, his, you know, knowledge and professionalism experience. So, like, I really appreciated having a professional on the podcast. And it's going to be, he's the first of many. He's the first of hundreds. I guarantee you I open the floor for everyone if they want to talk about real shit. Real shit like mental health. Real shit like our day-to-day lives. Real shit like immigration policy. Real shit like wanting to kill yourself, like I, or, you know, being on fentanyl, just like real shit. But we also have fun here. You know, I try to provide some comedic relief here and there during the podcast, but, you know, I digress. What is polyamory? Essentially, it's a non-monogamous relationship. It means that you and someone else have agreed and consented to dating other people while still remaining intact in a relationship. Now, like I said, the person that someone is living with, their nesting partner in the polyamorous relationship, they depend on each other for finances. So to them, I've done research. They've argued that their nesting partner, having a nesting partner, shows how committed they are to the idea of commitment. This is an oxymoron. Like, if you're not careful, listening to their arguments, you'll get lost. They have circular reasoning when they try to defend that they actually have a high sense of commitment when they don't. You're with someone because you need a roommate. You're shacking with them, but you're not satisfied with them. You see, I am a monogamous person. Okay. All my relationships have been monogamous, and that, you know, half of them I've been cheated on. But that's not to say that the solution should be for me to find someone to live with and call them my nesting partner. And then together we go out and fulfill our fantasies. See, to me, this is a fulfillment of desires. I feel like people are getting into relationships, like long-term relationships, way too young and like committing to people that I feel like people get into relationships before they even really know themselves. I feel like polyamory is like something, is a lifestyle to try when you're young. But I, like I said, in theory and in practice, two different things. Two different things. Don't confuse polyamory with cheating. Please understand that polyamory is based on consent and communication. I will backtrack a little bit that there is a slight difference between polyamory and open relationships. Open relationships, there's no like communication or solid communication. Usually they try to keep their side rendezvous like hidden from the marriage or the relationship, whereas polyamory is a little different. Polyamory looks like this, where it's a couple, let's call them boyfriend and girlfriend. They could be two lesbians, they could be gay guys, it doesn't matter for polyamory. But for this example, you have Mary and Joseph together, and they decide that they want to spread their love, they want to share their love. See, that's what people in polyamorous relationships say. I hear them say a lot to justify their reasonings, which I would respect them more if they just said, I just want to fuck multiple people and still have a relationship. I would respect them so much more if they said that, and if they said my partner knew about it, because that's what it is. I talk a lot about cheating. I talk a lot about infidelity. No, it's not the same thing, because you're not going behind someone's back. What it looks like is you two together decide that you're either going to date women together, date men together, or find someone on your own, date them on your own, and maybe introduce them to the trio aspect. The thought, now I'm getting down to logistics here. The thought of having sex with two people multiple times a week sounds fucking exhausting. Like me and Daniel, we're back together. I know. He's just 22. That's the only thing that's wrong with him is he's 22. Leave me alone. Anyways. Like, I know, like, it's so frustrating to me that, like, his generation views relationships, because he's Gen Z, views relationships in more of a, like, a non-serious way, to where, like monogamy, like, okay, let me tell you something. Daniel has told me that, like, hey, there's a reason why I asked him, like, why aren't we together? And he told me straight up, he was like, because I'll cheat. And I respect him for that. Even though it hurt, you know. So we're just in a sexual relationship, but that's all it's going to be. But, like, are polyamorous people, like, really spreading love? Like, do you really have, like, I should have a panel on here. Do you really have so much love within you that it has to extend to another person? Is it really about love? I have not seen a polyamorous wedding. When have you ever seen a throuple get married? And polyamorous people like to argue, well, the divorce rate for monogamous couples is 50%. Okay, so you're doubling your chances with a throuple. in theory and in practice are two different things. Polyamory challenges traditional relationship norms because it goes against everything that we've been taught, and taught as in we've seen examples of. It's like, what has it been normal for a guy to have two girlfriends, and they knew about each other, and they're cool with each other, and they might even be dating altogether? Like, what? I remember when I was in elementary school, there was a show called True Life on MTV, and one episode was True Life, I'm Polyamorous. And it followed like three different people trying to navigate a polyamorous relationship. These people, once they get in a polyamorous relationship, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. There's no script. Monogamous relationship, there's only one rule. Don't cheat. And if you feel like you're going to cheat, leave the relationship. It's that fucking simple. But people not only do they have commitment issues, people have abandonment issues. And let's talk about that. It's like you find someone that you connect with, right? And you got abandonment issues. So it's like, I feel like this is a symptom of abandonment issues. It's like, I don't want to leave my nesting partner. I don't want to pay bills on my own. I don't want to live on my own. It's an issue with being on your own as well. Being alone and single, and like, it's a blessing. If you use it to your advantage, if you just sit here and sulk, it's going to get the best of you. But to grow in your own space alone without anybody judging you or trying to change you in the process is a blessing. Know that if you are single and you have been single for a long time, you're not missing out on all the love. Like, this is bullshit. And people who want to argue that it's a sexuality, it's not a sexuality, it's a lifestyle. I think these people who are in polyamory relationships have issues, and people in monogamous relationships have issues. We have a divorce. We're not perfect. I mean, pick us apart all you want. But no amount of cheating, no amount of infidelity in a monogamous relationship, no amount of the threat of infidelity, even the possibility, will make me turn around and be okay with my boyfriend actively seeking sexual relationships while we're in a nesting partnership? What the fuck? So basically, you're finding a roommate that you can shack with and bring bitches home to. Like, how? I really wish I had a panel of poly. Maybe one day we'll revisit this episode, because you guys know me. Like, hot take, hot after hot take, after hot take, after hot take. But I'm someone who genuinely tried to understand, and I'm analyzing. I watched a lot of reels, YouTube shorts of polyamorous couples explaining their situation. And at the end of the day, it sounds like bullshit. It sounds like bullshit. It sounds like you're trying to sell me pickles that came from the store and you're telling me it's homemade. So, I have questions for polyamorous people. How do you navigate parenting? Let's say we have a single mom with two kids, and she decides, the next relationship I'm going to be in, I'm going to be polyamorous. So, she has a potential stepdad and a baby daddy at the same time. How does that work? Let's say there's no baby daddy, and like, she gets in a relationship with a guy who is poly, and she's wanting to try a polyamorous lifestyle. Oh, I will say this, Eloy, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I'm gonna tell everybody, but he was at one time in his life, he talked about it on the podcast, his first episode, So Weird It's Wet, check it out, but he told me that he's exploring the polyamorous lifestyle. And no offense, Eloy, but like, I every time I see you, and we catch up like maybe two times a year, every time I see you, you got a new girlfriend or you just broke up with somebody. How is your next logic? Like, oh, the solution to my problems is that society has too many rules and blah, blah, blah. And why do I feel like I have to, I'm not saying he said this, but like he, to me, looking as a friend, looking on the outside, I kind of saw like someone spiraling a little bit. Like, okay, how does it make sense to then turn around and then date multiple people and try to do it all together? Like, I am a Leo, okay? I'm jealous. I get jealous. Like, if I have a boyfriend and he's legitimately like my man, knowing that there are hot girls out there, knowing that cheating is a thing, you know, being monogamous is not a bad thing. It's not. Just because it's traditional, just because it's tied with like institutional marriage, there's something special about being someone's person and their only person. That's what makes it feel special. Like, where's the charm? Where's the love? Like, true love? Like, where is the... See, commitment is a sign of respect. Where's the respect? Because, like, Gen Z is, like, what? Like, 26 now? The oldest? 26 years old? Almost damn near 30, basically. I get to call them old now. But I think they've seen a lot with their millennial parents. And I feel like millennials have to take responsibility for modeling a lot of like behavior. Because my generation, one thing that we've done is ruin the dating pool. We are horrible daters across the board. We are the era of dating podcasts, which are horrible, give out horrible advice on how you should navigate dating. Everyone's in it for themselves. And I get that. I get that the dating pool for monogamous relationships is trash. And we have, I think that monogamous people have a lot of pride issues. I feel like monogamy can be taken to an extreme to where your partner is not allowed to look at someone's way, not allowed to like someone's pictures on Instagram, not allowed to have friends with the opposite sex. I feel like it can go to a degree of something unhealthy. And then, yeah, that's where people cheat or step out on their marriage. But it's a mistake. And 9 times out of 10, when someone's caught, they go right back to the person apologizing, wanting to keep the relationship going, saying that they made a mistake. Stepping outside of your relationship, I feel like is not necessarily a mistake. I don't want to like be so like dramatic about that, but like, because you never know who your person's gonna be. I just don't understand how polyamorous people are okay with their partner being with someone else. Is that bad to think? Like, down to the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is, like, how are you accepting this? Does a part of you get... Does your body physically react when... And they like to, like, be like, oh, my ego's not so big. I'm like, saying your ego isn't big means you have a big ego. Like I said, it's not about pride or ego for wanting your partner to be with you and only you while you're in a relationship. Nothing wrong with that. But I feel like with this fucked up dating pool, I feel like people also on another side of the polyamorous coin want to kind of get ahead of the hurt, get ahead of the potential cheating and say like, hey, like, I'm okay with it as long as I know about it and I agree to it. What if you're in a polyamorous relationship and you're the man and you find another partner, either a man or a woman, and your nesting partner doesn't want anything to do with that person, but you're still attracted to them. Are you going to see them on the side anyway? Is that cheating? What constitutes cheating in a polyamorous relationship? One thing I don't like about threesomes, I've had threesomes, and every threesome I've been in, the girlfriend was on some shit. Like, she was like, I'd have rules. You can't fuck him. I'm like, then how is it a threesome? I've had rules like you can't suck his dick longer than 10 seconds. I'm serious. I had rules where it's like I had to eat her out first. Like, it's weird. It's really weird. And there is this, like, I know this is true for some open relationships because I've talked to people who've had marriages and open relationships within their marriage. Sometimes they got jealous of each other because, like, the wife was getting more dick on the side than the man was getting pussy. And it wasn't equal. And, like, it's funny because it was the husband's idea to go into an open relationship. You know, what if polyamorous people, what do you do when it doesn't work? How do you resolve that? How do you resolve parenting? What kind of effect do you think this lifestyle has on your children if they're young and in the house? One thing I appreciate about polyamorous people is that they don't try to push their lifestyle on other people. Unlike some Christians I know, and Catholics and Jews, but I digress. But they sure make it seem cool. They make it seem like it's the new modern thing to do. And if you're not doing it, then you're old-fashioned, you're a Republican, you're out of date, you're out of touch. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with me or someone else wanting a committed relationship with one person, however long that relationship might last. I think polyamorous people have a misconception about monogamous people and that they think we want our relationship to last forever or whatever. If someone's not happy, we're out. Some people cheat. Most people, like half the people, cheat before getting out or instead of getting out of the relationship. But like, people break up for a reason. I feel like if I were to navigate a possible polyamorous relationship, let's just do a thought experiment. Excuse me. Let me take a hit of my vape really quick. You want to guess the color of my underwear? Oh my God, it's going to be so lit in 2 days. Oh, you guys, I want to share something really quick. I've been sober from marijuana for 5 days, and I feel like I'm going to make it this time because I'm okay with being bored. It's not that bad. I feel like I've gotten over a hurdle because being bored was the reason why I got high at the end of the day. Like, I could have so many reasons, like, you'll do better in this area, you won't eat as much, you won't sleep as much, you know, you'll pay attention to more things that are important. You'll catch up finally to the rest of your peers who haven't been living in La La Land the past 16 years. And weed for me was a drug that I let do me instead of me doing the drug. Like, the weed did me. Like, I didn't do weed. Weed did me. I used it for a crutch for every little thing and got too dependent on it. And, like, I'm so happy to, like, have 5 days down my belt. I feel like I need to go get a chip or something. Like, I really feel really good. I have energy. Maybe it's the coffee. Maybe it's because it's 12:57 a.m. But, like, anyways, if I was trying to navigate a polyamorous relationship, I would have so many rules for my boyfriend. Like, She can't be hotter than me. She can't be skinnier than me. If she is, then just fucking go with her. Go with her. Go with her and be happy. I am not rare. That little, like, jealousy I just showed in that scenario, that's not new. That's not a Leo thing. That's not a Candace thing. It's not even a woman thing. It is possessive, but it's like, respect is number one in a relationship. And like, if to me, you're not respecting your partner, no matter the setup, if you have some type of commitment, whether it's a real commitment or a fake commitment, like nesting partnerships, but the, like, I feel like polyamory won't work unless there's always a constant recycling of a third or fourth or fifth partner. Being a third wheel sucks, and like, it's not fun. So like, I don't know how these people are managing, and to me, it's very performative to have two girlfriends or two boyfriends or multiple partners at once. Like, it's very performative. I was very judgy tonight, and I recognize that. But to me, this is the lifestyle that has been on the rise, at least for Gen Z, not so much for millennials and Gen X, our parents. Boomers, forget it. They have another name for it. They call it swinging. But polyamory has its own word because it emphasizes consent, like I said. If there's a polyamorous family, what does that look like when it comes to legal troubles? Like I've been saying this whole episode, in theory and in practice, polyamory is one of those things that when it's going bad, it's going really bad. You know, it works until it doesn't. It works until someone realizes this isn't the lifestyle for me. I'm uncomfortable. Because I bet that happens a lot. People say they want to do this. I mean, I've checked on Eloy a year later. He doesn't have two girlfriends. He doesn't have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. He doesn't have three girlfriends. I don't think he has one girlfriend. I don't think it's been working out for him. I've been approached by couples, not to be in a polyamorous relationship, but like, I could tell that they wanted to fuck, at least in a threesome. And I feel bad for the girlfriend. I'm just like, do you not see that that this man is perfectly content with like being your nesting partner and like not being satisfied with you? Like, doesn't that bother you? That someone's like, because that's essentially what it is. And like, I was like, they're not satisfied with you, because if you were enough, if you were it, if you were the person for them, they wouldn't be searching, constantly searching for someone else to come in and spread the love. Stupid. I need a fucking cigarette. So, even though polyamory seems to be on the rise, I don't think it's here to stay. Our society isn't built for polyamory. I mean, like, you can't marry three or more people. Legally yet. And it'd be interesting to see if there's like a political movement for polyamory, like there was for LGBTQ. Just because you want to be with multiple people doesn't mean you're gay or queer. It's a lifestyle. And being gay and queer isn't a lifestyle. You were born that way. So I want to talk a little bit about how emotional needs are met in polyamorous relationships? Like, how do you divide your time? Does it get annoying having to deal with two people sometimes? Why bring that upon yourself? And it's like the nesting couple who live together, whenever they bring in someone on the side, they can just kick them out. And when they break up, it's so easy for them to get rid of each other, because they're not dependent on each other for finances. They don't have things signed in both their names. Like, it's just like, it's for sex and it's for self-gratification. I said what the fuck I said, and that's all I'm gonna fucking say. I miss you guys so much. I miss coming on here and just ranting and singing. I have 38 more episodes to record that I've already thought of, that I've already outlined, that's where I've been the past 2 weeks. I also went to Disneyland. Let me tell you about my fucking trip to Disneyland. It was awful. The adults, if you're at Disneyland with no children and it's you and your homegirl and you're 32, you're both 32, why are you going to Disneyland? I understand it was during Halloween, but like me, I came with my brother and sister who've never been to Disneyland. They're 12. When I first went to Disneyland, I was 12. So I wanted to share the experience with them, but the adults and the rules made the experience so awful that I went home in the middle of the day. I left my family at Disneyland and got a lift and went back to our Airbnb in Long Beach. We had such a great time. We had such a good Airbnb, and I'm happy that the kids have these memories for the rest of their lives. But why are you at Disneyland with no kids? Why are you at Disneyland with no kids? Why are you at Disneyland with no kids? I don't get it. I don't understand the lore. I don't understand the aura. I don't fucking get it. Because when I was in that park and I wasn't on a ride, I wasn't a fucking amused, okay? I wasn't like, oh my God, there's a fucking Ferris wheel. Oh my God, there's Minnie Mouse. Oh my God, there's Goofy. Like, I want to get a picture. It's like, there's some people who come to Disneyland every year. There's some people on TikTok come to Disneyland once a month. I'm not fucking joking. That sounds like a literal nightmare, going to Disneyland once a month. Guys, the Fast Pass isn't even a Fast Pass anymore. You have to make reservations. That's just a reservation pass. You're still standing in line for an hour and a half like the rest of everyone else. It's bad, but we went to the beach, we had great food, and Long Beach is a place to be. It's downtown Long Beach. Like, it's Second Street. Shout out to Second Street. I really wish I had a polyamorous couple to, like, pick their brains, because there's so many questions I have, like, how do you guys view marriage? Like, do you want to get married one day? Like, what does growing old together look like in a polyamorous relationship? Even if they wanted to get married, it's like, would they just be like, would they have a pretend ceremony? I don't know. But this sounds like a big mess. And imagine, like, having a relationship where you have two exes at once. Ouch. It must be heartbreaking to get dumped while in a polyamorous relationship. It must suck to be like, two people decided together to break up with you. And how these relationships end typically is two people find that they're better off just with each other. Usually the nesting partners, or sometimes it's the one that they introduce into the relationship that ends up leaving with one of them. And their nesting partner is there to fend for themselves, have to pay bills on their own again. I don't know if this is a symptom of the sinking economy in the United States. I don't know. Gen Z, they're pretty broke. Not all of them, but like leaving the house at 18 and staying out, it's definitely not a thing anymore. Not for them. I know plenty of 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. I know plenty of them that are still living at home. And there's nothing wrong with that. I miss you guys. And how do you practice safe sex with monogamy? Like, let's say if there's like, I don't even want to get into it. Like, I'm done. I'm done talking about polyamory. Next episode, we're going to talk about the realities of being an influencer. I've noticed, I'm not saying I'm an influencer. I'm not, I've never gotten on here and tried to sell you third-party products. Never had an ad read for a third party on this podcast. So I'm not an influencer. Even on my Instagrams, like the most I compel you to do is just follow me and interact with me. That's it. But we're going to talk about the realities of being an influencer, because you can be you can be viral in like one day and be put on such a mental high. Like, imagine how it must feel to go viral and you're one of those people who love social media, who live to be on social media, and you go viral. Like, how exciting, right? I wonder what that feels like. I wonder what that rush feels like. But then the come down is a reality. Like, some people, they'll get viral and like, that's it. You'll never hear from them again. And like, they'll always be that person or the reason why they got viral. They will always be that. And sometimes it's for a bad reason. So we'll discuss things like how influencers build trust with their audience, how they earn money, what happens when they don't make any money, what happens when they stop making content, when they need a break. Because I know some influencers, some YouTubers that I watch, they take mental health breaks, because that's what they call it. I need a mental health break. We all do. But it's just sometimes they get burnt out, and it's just a reality. And I feel like a lot of people still want to be influencers, and they don't know that it's like, it's mostly luck. It really is. And they have to deal with so much, like negative comments, trolling. We'll talk about it all on this next episode, but I just want to ad lib for a few minutes. Calm down, garçon. I really miss you guys. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll just end it here. Thank you for listening to the Man and Candace podcast, you guys. It's your girl, Candace, back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. So good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. Thank you for listening, Mies and Mies, and I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.